I recently read a quote that said, "Family isn't always blood. It is the people in your life who want you in theirs. The ones who accept you for who you are. The ones who would do anything to see you smile and who love you no matter what." That is what we are here at St. Thomas's, a family. 8 years ago, when Eric and I first joined St. Thomas's, we began pledging. We gave what we felt comfortable giving and thought no more of it. We remained at the same level as we felt that we were covering ourselves, almost like when you go to a wedding and you give a monetary gift that is just enough to cover your plates at the reception. We felt that we were doing our duty every Sunday when the collection plates were passed, so we continued on with our lives from Monday through Saturday. As time went on, we became more involved in the many ministries here at St. Thomas's, including Vestry, Tools for School, Kitchen of Hope, IHN Family Promise. Through our involvement, we began to see and get involved with many of the behind-the-scenes efforts that fueled these ministries, the maintenance of the entire church campus, and much, much more. We began to appreciate all of the hard work, the dedication, the goodwill, and the finances. We realized that nothing is accomplished at St. Thomas's without prayer, hard work, and money. We started to understand that in order for our church to continue to grow and sustain that growth, we needed to continue to give of our time and step up to the next level with our financial giving. We accepted that we are merely vessels through which God works to touch our lives and others. With that, we began to understand that giving is not a duty, it is an opportunity for us to help our church family and community to grow from where we are to where God wants us to be. We have worked to change our perspective on the financial blessings that God has bestowed upon our family. As we raise our daughter Aiden within the St. Thomas family, we strive to model joyful giving to her. She recently came home with her Advent for Animals collection jar that she made in Sunday school. Every day, we encourage her to drop coins into the jar as we remind her that her offering will help animals and other people. Aiden faithfully kisses each and every coin before she drops it into the jar. If you have not yet turned in your pledge card, I encourage you to do so. Pledge cards are our financial faith promises to the current and future generations of our St. Thomas's family, as well as to our community. Like Aiden, feel free to kiss your card before you drop it into the collection plate. God does not mind lipstick or wet kisses. Amen.
Thanks, Jerry. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So reflecting on our gospel lesson today, take a look around the room. What a beautiful place we worship in. Can you understand what the disciples were talking about as they came out of the temple? Right, the space in which we worship was not built because it was the cheapest design the architect could come up with. The space in which we worship isn't the most energy efficient design or the most compact design. Instead, this space was designed to be beautiful and to evoke the presence of God. That's what the disciples were experiencing as they exited the temple with Jesus after going there to worship God. They were so overcome by the magnificence of the place that they gushed to Jesus, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Large here could be about size, or it could be translated more broadly as wonderful or awesome. Now, Jesus' immediate reply is shocking, like a bucket of ice water being thrown over your head. Jesus, the party pooper, says, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." What is Jesus going on about? In fact, that temple would be destroyed only a few decades later, as Jesus very shrewdly foresaw. But when the disciples asked Jesus for more specifics, he didn't say, "Well, in about 50 years." Jesus wasn't trying to warn his disciples about the temple's destruction, he was warning his disciples that they were looking at the wrong things. They were seeing in the temple echoes of the glory of the historical kingdom of Israel rather than the present active kingdom of God. Now, you may have heard me say in the past, and you will likely hear me say in the future, St. Thomas is not a museum. Our buildings might be beautiful, and they might be of historical interest, but they weren't built to be period pieces, and they weren't handed down to us so that we could revel in the nostalgia about the St. Thomas that was. When we get distracted by our buildings, we make the same mistake as the disciples. We look backwards and yearn for the way things used to be. But St. Thomas is not a museum. This building is not a shrine unto once upon a time. Instead, this place is an active and vital consulate and supply post for those who are involved in bringing about the coming reality of the coming kingdom of God. We gather to engage in the mission of God, which is to restore all people to unity with God and each other in Christ. And so the temple in Jerusalem, the great cathedrals of Europe, and our beautiful little church building, these are all places meant to evoke the presence of God and to remind us what we're all about. But at one point, that temple in Jerusalem stopped serving that function. And afterwards, not one stone was left on another. But God's mission continued, unimpeded by the loss of a particular building. Today is the last Sunday in our stewardship campaign for this year. Are you ready for it to be over? We're not quite ready yet because we haven't quite received a pledge from everybody. So if you haven't pledged yet, please bring your cards next Sunday. Stewardship is not about entry fees into a museum that honors the past. These pledges that we make are not about maintaining a pile of stones that we call a church building. Those pledges are not primarily about paying salaries and electric bills and keeping the yard nice. Those pledges are about you and I looking forward, participating today in God's mission. Just like the people who built this building before us, and just like those who will inherit it after us. It is the mission of God which stands the test of time, and that is the invitation of Jesus. To participate in something that will outlast every stone edifice. God's mission is to restore all people to unity with God and each other in Christ. God's mission will continue. Now, today is also Bible Sunday. And just like a building, a Bible can be encountered in different ways. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks writes, "Fundamentalism reads texts as if God were as simple as we are." And he goes on to observe, "That is unlikely to be true." Fundamentalists will use a Bible like it's a museum, echoing the power of a bygone era and a history that has been written and interpreted by those with the loudest voices. But a Bible is like a building in that its texts are beautiful and powerful not when they're used to control others, but when one encounters within them the living presence of God. The Bible is a love story written from a human point of view, telling of the ongoing romance between God and humankind. When we read the Bible, it's not so that we can recreate a bygone era that we read about in it. Instead, the Bible provides us with a history and a tradition that leads us forward into the coming kingdom of God. So today, we can get distracted by all kinds of things, can't we? We can get distracted by buildings, by organs, by budgets, by programs. In our individual lives, we can get distracted by educational opportunities, by our health or our appearance, by our jobs. We can get distracted by all manner of amusements, like football games and streaming movies and video games. We seem to like to sit still and watch others sweat and suffer. And none of these things are bad in and of themselves. Most of them are good. But someday, it is true that not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down. So don't get distracted by saviors or leaders or politicians or business people. Don't get distracted by wars or rumors or natural disasters. Don't get distracted by buildings and a heritage of power or influence. These are all signs that the end has not yet come, that we still have work to do. Today we'll be giving a Bible to a fourth grader, not to indoctrinate her into something old, just to be a supporter of her parents' religion. She is being given a Bible and a tradition and a way of listening to God that will lead her forward to hear God's new call into her life. The stones that make up our church building carry a lot of history, and they leave us a lot to be thankful for. But they're not meant to keep us stuck in the past. Instead, they are the firm foundation from which we can vault into the future. God is at work in St. Thomas. God is at work in the lives of our children. God is at work in the life of each person here. God is healing our past and leading us into the future. God is doing something new among us, and not one stone will be left on top of another. Instead, if you let it, your life will be caught up and changed, taking part in the mission of God. And as we read in the Catechism in our Book of Common Prayer, the mission of God is to restore all people to unity with God and each other in Christ. Amen.